Today's daf in the Sechet Sotah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Tet. And we got up to the sugya of Mida Keneged Mida. By the way, we're learning in the Aliyah's Nishmat Zelda Bat Yerachmiel, Richie's favorite aunt. So we were in the middle of the sugya of Mida Keneged Mida, and we found that Sotah is a very profound expression of the concept on every level of Midah Keneged Midah, something that we're going to have to look into as to why it's so primal. But in any event, we're going to see today that it's even more than we thought. But we had three psukim. One pasuk that there's a concept of Midah Keneged Midah was the pasuk of Bisa'a Se'ah, which we darshan to mean Sa'a Bisa'a. So then we wanted to know, how about small issues? Not a big element of sa'ah. We learned that out from Kol So'on So'ein, which means any level of mida. And then we wanted to know how it is that things that are actually not even noticeable and too subtle for the person to pick up. So how do we know that over there we also have the getter of mida, keneged mida, ultimately, and that mida sadin is not mivater? That we learned out from achat le'achat, so the question is, why do we need all three of those psukim? In other words, if we've already learned out that even ko pruta v'pruta mitztarefet, so to speak, so miachad nafkele miachat leachat limtzo cheshbon, ki chol so'on so'en b'ra'ash lamali. Why do I need to know that every single type of sa'ah is counted according to the disruption that it causes, the bara'ash? That's something else. Wait a minute. Note that in Achat L'Achat L'Pso Cheshbon, it doesn't mention that there's a Mida Keneged Mida. It only says that Mida Sadin is not Mivateret. But how do you know that it's still Begetter Mida Keneged Mida? That I need from So'on So'in, because So'on is a Lashon of Mida. Okay, but now that we have that pasuk, Miachad and Afkale Miko So'on So'in Barash, why do we need the first pasuk of Bisa'a Sa'ah B'Shalchatri Vena Lamali? Since Sa'ah is the least of the chidush of Mida Keneged Mida, and we ought to just bring it from the second pasuk, which tells us even less than a Sa'ah, called So'on So'in. So why do we need both? Says the Gemara, the truth is, that pasuk of B'Shalchatri Vena comes to tell us a new chiddush, and that is Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. The Omer of Chanina Bar Papa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaUma Ad Sha'at Shilucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take it out, Midas Adin, on a nation until their time is up. Ad Sha'at Shilucha. So it's time for this to pass away from the face of history. And therefore, it says, B'sa'a sa'a b'shalcha, that means when it's about to be sent away from the flow of history, at that moment it becomes sa'a b'sa'a. But that's only nogea, of course, an actual umma, where there's a concept of b'shalcha. But that's not really true, is it? Eini, v'yoma rava shlosha kosot amura b'mitzrayim lama, achat sheshatat b'mei Moshe, achat sheshatat b'mei paro necho, at the time that Mashiach comes. So obviously, you're claiming here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Porea Min HaUma only at the time that it's sent away. So then how is it possible for Mitzrayim to have three separate dinim? Apparently, the first coast that it drank, Bimei Moshe, did not come at the end of its being at the face of history. And later on, during the days of Paro Necho, which was at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, so over there, so many centuries later, and Mitzrayim is still around, and it's still being given another coast. But you said, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Ad Sha'at Shilucha. How do you explain that? V'chi Tema Anach Ozdu. Maybe you'll say, well, the name Mitzrayim is the only thing that's real. It's not. The truth is that Ummah and that culture that was the original Mitzrayim, Bimei Moshe, that was up and gone. And now, when we're talking about another coast for Mitzrayim, it's referring to people who later settled in Mitzrayim, but they have a different actual nationality in terms of the Shivim Mumais. But it's not true, because we had the Maisa of Minyamin, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Minyamin was a Ger Mitzri, yeah? And he was my Chavrusa. Ayale Chaver mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva. So he was my Chavrus, and he shared a lot of personal stories with me. And he told me, you know, that I am actually a Mitzri. So I'm really not allowed to come into the Kal Hashem, because I'm a Mitzri Risha, and we have to wait for Dor Revi. So what I'm going to do when I go out for Shidduch, so it says on my CV that I'm looking only for a Mitzri Chinia. So that way our child can end up being a Mitzri Shlishi. So, Kidei Shiyeh Ben Benim Mutar Lavo B'Kahal. That way, my grandson will be allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. But if I would have married a Mitzri Rishona like myself, so then my children would only have been Dor Sheni. And it goes according to, remember, it goes according to the Pagam, whenever there's Pagum. So it would go according to the mother. So from here, in any event, I mean, what do you see from here? That basically, it was still no Gea, that din of not marrying a Mitzri, and that a Mitzri is only allowed after the third generation, that it was still in effect at the time of Rabbi Akiva. So obviously, you can't say that this is a completely different nationality. So therefore, we've got a problem. How do we explain the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never strike twice when it comes to an Am? So it's very interesting, because L'maisa, the Gemara ends up there, Rabbi Akiva telling Minyamin, Ta'ita, you're making a big mistake, that the Mitzrim that are today are not the Mitzrim that the Yisra was on, because Kfar Ba Samcheru, Ubilbel is Kola Umot. So that means that nothing is the way that it was, and there's no Isser on Ammoni and Moavi, and there's no Isser on Mitzri, and so on. And this is what Rabbi Akiva told him. So Rashi says over here that Minyamin was not aware of that, or he didn't hold of it. I mean, it doesn't make sense, a little savior, but probably that's he thought. So, but actually, he was mistaken. And that's how Tosfos understands Rashi. Minyamin ayat to'eh, v'sovur shelo nitbalbalu. But it's very interesting that Tosfos also brings a pshat, which he himself is doicha, but he says that this is the Rabbeinu Tam, and that means that you'll have to change girsaot in a number of different places, but that in fact this din of Bar Rabbi Sancheirev is not true legabe Mitzrayim, because we find the lo hosif od melech Mitzrayim letzit mi'artzo ki lakach melech bavel minalcha Mitzrayim. So apparently Sancheirev had not been mevalvel, and it was only beating them down by Sancheirev that turned them into a very low-class culture that was no longer important. And there's many other historical events that Tosfos goes into over there about how it is that we're supposed to learn Amon Umoav or Amon Umoav the same. This relates to the story in Purim, remember, where the Chachomim told Achashverosh, don't ask us what to do, go to Amon Umoav. If it says Amon Umoav, the mashmaut is that, like it says in the Pasuk, they were like Yayin, that is Yoshvim al Durdaya, that it was sitting there in a barrel for forever. So you see that all of those issues are going to be problematic over here. And the idea, therefore, that is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be Shena in a Hakoh of an Uma Achat Shilucha, is really problematic. So how do we explain it? Says the Gemara, well, what we'll have to say, if it's not that, and we take Binyamin for granted, Ela Yitmar Hachi Yitmar, Omer Rabbi Chinina Bar Papa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifram Min HaMelech Ad Sha'at Shilucho. It doesn't mean that he will not be Poreya Min HaUma. It means that a particular Malchus, a kingdom, and a kingdom is different. That we don't find that. We have the same kingdom that was later on, B'Shas Moshe Rabbeinu, as was B'Shat Paro Necho. As we know, there were many dynasties. Shenemar b'sa'asa'a b'shalcha terivena. Tosfos points out the obvious problem is that this is all in the context of Atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilitem. And that means that the only ones that I was not absolutely destructive of was Bnei Yaakov. According to this, if the Ummah wasn't affected and only the kingdom was affected, then the Pasuk no longer retains much power. Okay, he doesn't have an answer to that. And Meimar, Mati Lahad Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa Aho. This thing that Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never needed to hit twice because he always finished them off at that final point, is gufa on that pasuk. Ki ani Hashem lo shaniti, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilitem. So we understand that to mean lo shiniti means I never did it twice, like the Lashon of Shana, to review something again. And it's the same idea. Lo hikeiti l'uma v'shaniti la. I never hit a nation and needed to hit them again. If I hit them, it's the end. But atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilitem, masha'en ken Klal Yisrael suffers all the time, but though it's not in order to be mechala them, it's in order to be metaken them. Haino dechtiv chitzai achalebam. I'm going to use up all my arrows, which means chitzai kalim. I'll use up my arrows, but they won't be kalim, so I won't have any more weapons to use against them. Vehein einam kalim. And that's kufa, the difference between them. And it's on this that Tosis points out. So then, if it's only about a Malchus, what do you do about this pasuk? This is clearly about an Uma. Omer Rav Amnuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'adam ad shititmalei sa'ato. You don't expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish someone until he has basically used up all of his patience, meaning that whatever it is that this Russia wanted to take out of the world, go ahead and take it, and then we'll blow you to pieces. So that means, titmale sa'ato, you fill up that sa'ah, because we're talking about the mida. So once the mida fills up to the top, that's when it blows up. Shenemar bimlot sifko yetzerlo. After he gets everything that he wants, all the money that he wants, all the znus that he wants, all of the cover that he wants, that's when yetzerlo, that's when things turn bad for him. Dorash Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa, Mai Dechtiv, Ranenu Tzadikim Badunai, Laisharim Navati Ila. Pashtus Laisharim Navati Ila is that it is suitable and it's comely to give Shevach to people that are upright. So read that not as Navati Ila, that it's a preposterous, it makes sense to do that, but rather Nevei Tehila, that they become a home of Tehila. Meaning, let's take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu and David. Well, over there, the things that they made, the homes that they made, what were the homes that they made? They made the Mishkan. They made, were invested in the creation of the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. And those things were actually Lo Sholtu Soneihem B'Ma'aseihem. Rashi learns that the home that it's talking about in terms of David HaMelech is not the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't make the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it's Yerushalayim, the city, which that David HaMelech, of course, was very Isaac in, and that's where he built it up, and he built his own home. He wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, he did whatever he could, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the message to him with Nosan that it's Shlomo that will build it. But others learn that because of the way that he was making all of the things for the Beis HaMikdash, it really is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a question of how to understand the pasuk of David that says, David dichtiv, tavu v'aret she'areha. So both of them, lo sholtu soneihem b'maaseihem. So their enemies never took over the things that they had made. By David HaMelech, it says, again, according to Rashi, it's a reference to Yerushalayim and the Sha'arei Yerushalayim, that they sunk into the earth, and the Goyim could never carry them away with the beautiful, precious things that they were made. And by Moshe, we know that the Mishkan that he made, the Omar Mar Mishan Ivna Migdash HaRishon, at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Oyel Moed was put into hiding and never fell into the hands of the many enemies that invaded Eretz Yisrael. Every last little piece. Nignaz o moed, the krashim, the krasim, the brichim, the amudim, the adanim, every last bit is still there and protect underground. Where is it? Echa, Om Rav Chista, Om Ravimi, these were the part of the Mechilot that were built underneath the Heichal itself when they built the Beis HaMikdash. So there's all types of hidden tunnels. And that's where we know that it was Muchan to be put away and hidden there. We find the same story with Yoshio, according to that Mandiyoma, that when he's telling the Levian that you should put the Orin into its place, it means the place that Shlomo HaMelech was making lo when he created the Beis HaMikdash to make certain that the Oivim would not be shalit on it. Getting back now to the Inyan of Minas HaDin in the Saita, there is another very powerful limud that is also extremely primal, and it goes to the issue of the Nochash HaKadmoni itself. And that is that when a person seeks something that is not meant for them, they not only don't get the thing that they want to take over, but they also lose what they have. We find this very often in the world, especially in the world of business, where people are constantly trying to swallow what doesn't belong to them. They end up losing everything that they had made for themselves. So Tana Rabbana, the Sota, this is the model that we have of the Sota as an actual model of the Nachash HaKadmoni, as we'll see. So the Sota, Natna Inea B'Misha Eno Ra'uila, this man, who's an adulterer to her, is not suited for her. And therefore, Masha Biksha Lo Nitanma, so what it was that she wanted, she is not going to get, because the din is that the Bo'el, or the person that the kinui was given, is the one that can never marry her. Tafka, he becomes usher to her, and she's never going to get him. Umasha biyada nitalua mimena. And what she used to have, she actually is going to lose, because either she's going to be moda, in which case she's going to lose her husband, she's going to lose her ketuva, and if she drinks, then she's going to die. So for sure she's going to lose. So if, in fact, she went after this thing that was not for her, then she loses it all. And this is a general rule. Shekol anotein einav v'ma she'eino shelo, ma shemevakesh einot nimlo, u'ma shebiyado notli mimeno. So this is a overall approach of the way in which a person's missing the point of having a specific place and inyonim that are ru'uyim for him become something that takes him out of the mechitza that is his, and therefore everything becomes treif, so to speak. It's basar al pnei hasadeh, because he was yotze chutz l'mechitzato. So v'chein matzinu b'nachash HaKadmoni, and this is mamish what we find in Gan Eden, where we have the first insight into this kind of behavior. He was noten einav b'mashe eino ra'uilo. So we know that what it was that he was looking for, since the way that Nochash affected Chava is the way that she defines it. Hanachash hishiani. And that hishiani is a lashon of nisuin, meaning that the Nachash was seducing me, and the Nachash actually penetrated Chava in the most intimate of ways, so that we all became affected with that hitil ba'zoama. So, I mean, again, so we use, you know, we use these physical descriptions to mean something a lot more than physical. But that's the phallic symbol of the Nachash. That's always become the penetration of Ra. So that's why we call evil to be so insidious, which is the same lashon of insinuating, that which is sinuous like the snake, that is able to penetrate without your even realizing that it has penetrated your mind. And this is what happened, that he wanted to take over Chava, and it wasn't given to him. The tremendous things that were given to the Nochash was supposed to be an Eved Neman, Mechuber to Odom, and it was supposed to be the Melech HaKol HaChayot, as we're going to see, and it had a tremendous amount of intelligence and maneuverability originally. So that was basically, I mean, if you take a look at the development of Earth, the main development in it was reptilian development. The mammals only came up later. So it was only after the destruction of the Nachash and the highest life forms of the Nachash, which walked erect and we're extraordinarily intelligent and so on, after the Maisa in Gan Eden, so then the impact in terms of geologic time was wiping out almost all of the reptiles, and that gave the mammals that became Adam the opportunity to grow into Adam. And it means that the two were, everything that it wanted was taken away from it. You can see from the way that it was created, Aron Mikol was the most intelligent, and intelligence in terms of competitive advantage, we know is an extraordinary advantage, which would have made it essentially the ruler over Maisa Bereishis. And that's what I thought it was going to be. It would be in charge of all of the Behemot HaChayot. Now that it did what it did to take what wasn't in its mechitza, Aruru mikol ha-behema mikol chayat ha-sadeh. And now we take the words of Gan Eden, and that he's lower. Ani amarti alech bekomah zikufa. Originally, we had these reptiles walking upright and becoming very close to the stature of humans. And now, achshav al gichono yelech. Ani amarti yema achaloma achal adam. As it developed in intelligence, it would have also had the same advantages in creating foodstuffs like Adam has. And I thought it would eat like humans. You know, you'd walk into a restaurant, it would look more like Star Wars, you know. So you're sitting next to a nachash, you know. But it didn't work out that way. And now, achshav afar yochal. It could sit there and eat the dust. Hu amar, the nachash said to itself, I'll get rid of this human, and I'll take Chava for myself. Of course, remember that the word Chava actually means snake, right? Chava is Chivya, and that means that there were certain elements that he had identified that were actually Roi for the snake family. So we don't call those cunning women cunning for no reason, right? So this was the, you know, as we've pointed out many times, the same exact Lashon is found by the Yetzer Hara and women as is found by the Nachash. Atatim Sholba, Hu Yim Sholbach, right? The same idea. So the Onesh was that he would be Eva Ashit Bencho Venaisha, Ubein Zaracha Ubein Zara. Now there's this instinctive fear and competition between snakes and humans. The Chen Matzino, and there's a lot of places that we find in very central historical points that this notion of taking away what you had because you searched for something that wasn't yours comes to the surface. The same thing happens with Cain. Cain wanted something that was not for him. Remember that we have et achiv, et hevel. What's the extra et achiv that is et? They could have just said et achiv, or could have said et achiv hevel, or et hevel for that matter. So we learn out from the two additional ets that there was a extra ta'umah that was born with Hevel, and Cain wanted her. And this becomes, and again, in terms of the Gilgulim of history, this becomes the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is, Tzipora is the extra twin, and that's why Moshe, the Osios of Moshe, stands for Moshe Sheit Hevel, because that was the retaking of the ta'umah by Hevel. But in any event, this is a very primal kind of idea. And Cain, because of that, he loses all of those things that he was going to be boss over. We find the same thing by Korach, by Bilam, by Doeg, by Achitophel, by Gehazi, by Avshalom, by Adoniyahu, by Uziyahu, by Haman. Every last one of these guys wanted something for himself that wasn't meant for himself. Korach tried to take over the kahuna. He ended up losing everything. Bilam wanted to take all of Balak's cash. He said, wow, you know, it could give me a whole building full of Kesev Zahav. He went to collect payment just for the Chavdalad Elef, Chavdalad Rebu, and he ends up, no, Elef, sorry, and he ends up being killed. Doeg, he was very jealous, and he wanted to make David thrown out or destroyed by Shaul. He lost everything. Achitophel believed that he was going to be the Melech. Rashi brings the the Medrash that Achitofel, remember Achitofel was like the, he had insight like Kasher Yishal Adam BeElohim. He had a vision of fire coming out from his penis. And that was a sign to him of absolute power, of Malchus, which of course we know is very, very much associated with the idea of Mila, because we've seen all over. And so he was convinced that he was going to be Melech, says Rashi. But instead, because he went after David HaMelech, he loses everything. Gehazi wanted the things that Naaman had, and instead he ends up being thrown out with Zarat. Avshalom wanted to take Avishag, and he ends up getting killed. And Adoniyahu wants to take over Adoniyahu. Avshalom obviously wanted to take the Malchus. Adoniyahu wanted Avishag. Uzziah wanted to take over the Kuhuna. Haman wanted to take over Yisrael and all of its money. They were all not nuei neim b'mashenu ra'uilahem, and they ended up not getting what they wanted and losing whatever it is that they had. Ma'ashe b'yadam nitalu mehem. Okay, let's get back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was illustrating the idea of mida k'neged mida, and one of the things that the Mishnah used in that illustration was that since she first started this avera in sleeping with this guy before actual penetration, so, you know, they were like up close, and she's using her yarech as a source of pleasure. So therefore, she starts with the yarech. So because of that, first, yarecha nofelet. How do we know that? Because I'm assuming you're basing it on the pasuk, but something's wrong with that pasuk. If you're going to tell me that it's because of the order of the pasuk, which is what the kohen says to her as part of the Allah, the shvuat Allah, that she says amen to. So first it says, yirechech nofelet betnech tzava. And it says afterward, we'll see, another indication of the same thing, and yet when it comes to the realm event, it says v'tzavta bitna v'nafla yirecha. It says it the other way around, that first her stomach explodes, or becomes very large before exploding, v'nafla yirecha, and the yerech comes after the petan. So then that means that you don't have any raya at all. Om Rabaye, that's because when the kohen gives the klola, kilayet, layet techila yarech, vohadar beten layet. So that what we were talking about, it's the klola itself that essentially is what leads to her destruction. And we see that the focus in the klola is indeed the focus on the seder of events, the order of events that she was nichshelet in. So first she's all cozy wozy with this guy, which is the yarech, and then they get to the point of penetration, so that would be beten. So the fact that the kohen says it that way is an indication that it really is mida k'neged mida in that fashion. But in reality, since we're talking about drinking something, and we want to show that it's the mayim with the Shem Hashem who is the ne'emanut between her, that's the ma'al amal, she's mo'elet in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, not only in Ma'al of the Baal. So the water, as it goes in order to bring out that that's what's causing these things, the mayim is beidek yorchayu as it opens, as it goes into her body. So she drinks first, it gets to her stomach, and therefore the impact is immediately on bitna. And then afterwards, yorchayu batke, first beten, and hader yarech. But wait a minute. We find that in the klola, we find the same thing. Because, in the next pasuk it talks about, uvo hamayim ama'orima ela b'me'ayich. Look at this order. Latzbot beten v'lan pil yarech. And that is the way that it actually happens. And that is the way that it's in the klola. So I don't understand. What is this unusual pasuk where we talk about the Kohen's preparation for this, in which it's in the other order? Why did the Kohen then tell her the truth afterwards? No. That, the klola itself is definitely first Yerech, then Beta, because that's the Mida Keneged Mida. The reason that afterwards we find that it also mentions in the Klola, Latzbot Beten Velanpil Yerech, that's because the Kohen has to let her know that even though I told you the Klola in the order of Beten, of Yerech and then Beten, that's not what you're going to see happen to you. What you're going to see, he has to be modia her, because otherwise people will say, wait a minute, this is not what the Kohen said was going to happen. So he has to be modia la Kohen that in actual physical terms, the beten will be affected first because the water is coming into her beten, and therefore it's kiur chayut. The beten is beresha, and then the yorech. Why does he have to tell her that? Because otherwise, shlolo tzilaz al mayim amarim, people will say, oh, it's not really the mayim amarim, this is something else. V'horaya, it's not the way that the Kohen said. You know, this is no different than Paro. If he can find out that there's one animal that died in Dever, you know, it's not what Moshe said. Same thing over here. The fact that this woman blows up, it's a coincidence. Okay, this brings us to, once again, the far-seeing, clear vision of our Capitan, who casts his radar over all of history to give us more and more insight into this derech of Mida Keneged Mida as it shows itself across the generations. Please speak up, oh Sir Richard.
Oy, oy, oy.
That's painful, I know. More models for this idea. Shimshon. Well, Shimshon was holach achar einav. She said, Yishra b'einai. We're going to go through each one of these cases. Lefichach nikrup plishtim et einav. That was the horrible punishment that his eyes were gouged out by the plishtim. Shenemar v'yochazu plishtim v'yenakru et einav. That ayin was the thing that the Pusik had focused on in the beginning. So that's where he failed. Avshalom nitka'a b'sa'aro. He was very beautiful, and he showed off his beauty with this unbelievable hair, and that is actually what made him make the mistake that he, in the end, would be roy to take over, and he was an extremely charming figure because of this. And as it says, he captured the lave of Yisrael, and he actually made them feel that he's the guy that is roy for the malucha. What happened? Lefichach nitla b'saro. He ended up getting caught by that very hair and hanging from the branch while he was then exposed to David HaMelech's generals. Lefi sheba al eser pilakshe aviv. And because we have the whole story that he wanted to show Yisrael when David HaMelech had to run away, that he wanted to show all of Yisrael that he's not going to get back together with his father. So he publicly sleeps with the various shvachot of his father in order, the pilachim, I should say, in order to show them, like, listen, this is the end of our relationship. Lefichach nitnu bo eser lunviot. That's why we have the remez in the posik, where it says, Vayasobu asarane arim, nosei klei yoav, that he was circled by 10 guys who killed him. Why 10 guys? Because each one of them threw a dart into his heart. Ulefisha ganav shalosh gnevot, because he stole 3 hearts. Lev Aviv, Lev Beidin, Lev Yisrael, Shinemar Vayganev Avshalom et Lev Anshe Yisrael. He persuaded them. Remember, the Gemara goes through all kinds of stories of what he used to do. He would tell people that he would, oh, chaval, that you're going to the din by my father. If I was king, I would have for sure be mezake you. It's obvious that you're right, but, you know, you never get a real hearing by my father, unfortunately. And then he had this whole, the whole idea in which he got a note from his father that he has a right to take 2 people with him when he was going to Hebron, and he kept showing these to different people until he finally got 200 people that were all from Sanhedrin, and they all followed him. They said, well, his father said we're supposed to go with him. So in terms of that, it was Roy Leficha Nitku Ubo Shlosha Shvatim. Shema Vikach Shlosha Shvatim Bekapo Vayitka Em Belev Avshalom. And that's why we find that we had these three actual, a lance that went into his heart directly. And that was what Yoav did. A little bit strange because it's really in the wrong order since Yoav got there first. But okay, in any event, we're just looking for the Midah Keneged Midah. So now, if we find that Midas Hadin utilizes Midah Keneged Midah, then for sure the Midah of Teva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also utilize Midah Keneged Midah. V'chein le'inyan HaTova. Let's give some good examples of that. Miriam imtina l'Moshe sha'achat. Shenamar v'atetatzavachoto mirachok. And what do we find for her? All of Klal Yisrael waits ad ha'asef Miriam for 7 whole days. Shiv'a yamim ba'midbar. Shenemar va'am lo nasa ad ha'asef Miriam. Yosef was the one who was zoche to be kover et aviv, because he led the entire idea, he got Paro to agree, and there would be no way that it could have happened without him. That was the whole story with the Kitrosh or Yosef, and they came in all of the Umayyads, surrounded that Keter. Ein be'achav gadol mimenu. He was the greatest of his brothers in terms of the Melucha and the Chashivas. And because of that, who would bury Yosef? Milano gadol mi Yosef. How could there be a Midah Keneged Midah? Moshe was the greatest of all Yisrael in history. And Milano Gadomi Yosef, lo nitasek bo ela Moshe. What about that? Moshe was the one who was zoche in Atzmot Yosef. And in Bisrael Gadomi Meno, we're never going to find anybody that could be metapel Midah Keneged Midah in a greater way with Moshe. Ah, that's why we know it was him, because it says Vayikach Moshe at Atzmot Yosef imo. Milano Gadomi Moshe, lo nitasek bo ela makom. Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo was kover et Moshe. Shenemar vayigbor oto begai. Who is vayigbor? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was kover Moshe Rabbeinu. And this, by the way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in the neshama of an individual who is a great tzaddik, is said not only on Moshe. Lo al Moshe bilvad amru, ela al kol hatzadikim. Shenemar vehalach lefanecha tzidkecha, Kved Hashem Ya'asfecha. So there's a getter of Asifa, which is the taking in of a neshama after death, in which it says, on all, Alach lefanecha tzidkecha, that if a person is a tzaddik and his mitzvahs announce his coming before, the Shechina itself is the one who is ma'asef his neshama for Chaye Olam Haba. Tanu Rabbanan, to go into the cases that were in the Mishnah, where we talk about the people that were punished, Midah Keneged Midah. So we said Shimshon was Morad Be'inav. Where do we see this? Shenemar Vayomer Shimshon El Aviv. Ota Kachli Ki Yishara Be'inai. So Yashra, I should say. She is the one that I see in my eyes as being the right thing for me. Lefichach Nigru Plishtim Et Einav Shenemar Vayochazu Plishtim. That moment that he didn't realize that he was no longer the Superman that he had been, it says that the plishtim grabbed him. The first thing they did is vayenakru etenav. But wait a minute, Shimshon didn't do anything wrong in doing that. Eini, we see that his mother and father, who blamed him for going after this plishti woman, it says beferish in the pasuk. Well, they didn't know. They didn't realize lo yadu kimi Hashemi. They didn't know that this whole thing came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do you say he went after his eyes? That is true. Obviously, it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, he allowed himself to look at what it is that he wanted. And therefore, since he wasn't focused on the fact that this was Mei Hashem, he went Botar Yashrute Azel. He went because he was turned on by this woman. And so he says, this is the one that is Yashra Be'inai. Because of that, it was a Midah Keneged Midah, even though it was from Hashem. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Trilat Kilkulo Ba'aza. Where did he begin to really decline? In Aza. Even though, of course, the first woman that he had taken is the Timna. But as Rashi says, I mean, that he didn't do biznut, that he did, he married her as a regular chasana. And it wasn't done biznus. And as the Rambam said, obviously, he never took a Goyish woman. He had been converted her, you know. There was a local Chabad over there in Timna. So he certainly had converted her first. And therefore, we can't say that that was like the end of him. He started to really fall to pieces. Lefichach, but the first time that it says that he found really a Zoyna, that's talking about the case in which he went to Aza, that he finds a woman who's a Zoyna. And therefore, since Chilat Kilkulo Baza, Dichtiv says Beferish, Vayelach Shimshon Azata, Vayasham Isha Zona. So therefore, Loka Baza. That's why it says that they brought him down to Aza after they had captured him. Dichtiv Vayorido to Azata, why Azata? Because after all, Delilah wasn't in Aza. But that's why, because the beginning of the Kilkul was in Aza. But doesn't it say Vayeret Shimshon Timnata first? Yes, it does, but Chilat Kilkulo, as we said, was in Aza, not in Timna, because in Timna, it was part of normal weddings. That was the whole idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be turned on by this woman, so that he would be able to attack the Plishtim after the way that they treated the legitimacy of his marriage. Vayiachareichen, once we're already talking about this, after that, Maisa, he fell in love with this woman from Nachal Sorek, which is not in Aza, Ushma Delila, and that was her name, the famous Delila. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, let me tell you something. If that wouldn't have been her name, that's the name that it should have been. So I don't give a hang what her name was, but Delila is exactly what she was worth. Because she was a middaldelet. She really messed him totally up. She sapped everything from him. Dildala et kocho. Dildala et libo. Dildala et maasav. Everything about him that was so special is what actually pulled him to pieces. And this was true even though originally, obviously, she had been Mekabel Gerus, as the Rambam says, and clearly she was extremely part of Shimshon's vision, in which whatever Kedusha he had was Gufa, very something that was very much Moshecher. And only we see afterwards, we had the whole story where the Sarnei Plishtim, they come up and they talk to her and so on. That somehow affects her or threatens her, and she gradually turns to become a double agent, but she wasn't originally a double agent, as the Rambam says. I mean, how could it be Mekabel Gerus and so on? And therefore, in the end, the relationship with him took away all of his strength. It says Beferish. We're going to go through each one. Dildalat kocho, dichtiva yasar kocho mi'alav. It was because of her that she took away his strength. Dildalat libo, she actually got him to expose his heart. And when you expose a heart to someone who cannot appreciate that heart, you destroy the secrets of that heart. And that was when she ends up destroying him. She caused the Shekhinah to be mistalik from him. And because of that, his entire madrega and all of his mitzvahs run a low madrega. He didn't even realize. Ki Hashem sar me'alav. She saw that now he had exposed his entire heart. How did she know? What do you mean she know? I mean, he tried this a few times, you know. He gave her all kinds of bubblemices. If you do this, if you do that, and she keeps trying it, and it doesn't work. And he knows, like, you know, that he's fooled her, and she knows that he's fooled her. And in the end, it says now she knew that this was the real thing. Okay, I mean, those of you who have been learning the Shimshon story for the past year with me understand the unbelievable diyukim and the psukim of what went on over there. But the Pashta says the Gemara is Om Rav Chanin Om Rav Nikarin Divrei Emet. there's a sense that people have where you feel that this is the real thing. Abaya says, it's not because of that. It was a very simple, straightforward raya. This was the first time that Shimshon had used the Shema Hashem in talking to her about his kochot. So up until then, we know that he and Delilah, they were engaged in games. And they knew it was games. It was sexy games. That was the whole point. And she was trying to find some kind of way where she could actually control him, which was all about bondage sex. And he would never tell her the truth. But it was all in fun, so to speak. And at this point, he actually did tell her. It's the first time that he spoke to her seriously instead of in play. And since he said, Nazir Elohim ani, so she knew that that's for real. Yada bo boto tzadik, delo mapik shem shamayim levatala. She knew what a tzadik he was. And she knew that he would never have said something like that. And of course, if you're a medayik in the pasuk, there were two things that she was supposed to find out. And that's what the Sarnei Plishtim told her. She has to find out. She has to find out the secret of his strength. And she has to find out what can be done to remove that strength. He never before had told her the secret of his strength. He told her, I'll tell you what you can do. You can tie me up really good, you know. Utilize titanium and that way kryptonite. I'll never be able to get out of that. That was play, you know. So they were going to play. And she says, but it's Plishtim. Ah! And he just pops out of the problem. But this time, he actually told her, where does that strength come from? It wasn't from the movies. It was for real. So then she understood, okay, he never told me the source. Now he's telling me the source. So she immediately, this is the real thing. This is a deeper insight into how awful what she did was. I mean, she had become so intimate with him, so trusting. I mean, the whole idea was to utilize these games in order to make him trust, which originally really was trust. And a person can only put himself into bondage games if he really trusts. And then to use that against him was so unbelievably evil. Such a double agent is like the worst possible double agent. So it says, Vayiki Hetzikalo Bidvareo. After she drove him absolutely crazy with the things that she would do, Kolayamim V'Ta'alseyu, she actually forced him, so to speak, to tell her, it says, V'Tikzar Nafsho Lamut. He was ready to die. He couldn't take it anymore. That's the only point that he actually was Megala to her, that he was a Nazir Elohim. I mean, what in the world could a woman do to a superhero like Shimshon that would make him absolutely give up? My Vital Tseyu. Om Reb Yitzchak Devei Rebbe Ami. I'll tell you, it's very simple. At the moment that he's about to climax with her, she suddenly slips away from under him. Disaster. So that is the worst. And therefore, since she kept doing this to him, it drove him so crazy that V'tiksar Nafsho Lamut. Because of that, she ended up telling her. What was actually the Naziris of Shimshon? V'ata hishomrina. So what does the Malach say? You have to be very careful. V'al tishti yayin v'shechar. V'al tochli kol tamei. What is it supposed to mean? What, she's been eating like pork chops until now? V'al tochli kol tamei. And what does that have to do with the Naziris anyway? You know, I mean, if you're eating pork chops, what is the fact that your child is going to be a Nazir have to do with it? What is this a reference to? Kol tamei. What do we think? That Slalfonit would be such a tzadekas, and she's going to be eating Dvorim Tameim. Om Reb Yitzchak Devei Reb Ami, no. It's referring to Dvorim Ha'asurim B'Nazir. It means all of the things that were also to a Nazir that are not mamish in the Pasuk, but nonetheless, even if you have Mishrat, right? So you can have things that you have water that has the tam of yayin. We talked about before the idea of tam ke'iker, and that here the Mishrat might be coming to tell me that heter mitzaref le'iser, but what about tam ke'iker? So this is the Malach was telling her all of the chumras that are negea, naziras, She has to start keeping on herself now. A tremendous chiddush. What's a nogea the mother? It means that he shouldn't be exposed to any element that relates to the kedusha of the naziras mina batan. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue our foray into the story of Shimshon and further on into the exciting aspects of the midas of Sota. It remains yet to be seen by the man of the hour when exactly that is going to be. What saith you, O man of the hour? We're going to meet Be'ezrat Hashem on Motzei Shabbat Chol HaMoed, and I think we don't really have much of a choice, because in order to get Joburg along with us, who will have no way of the man of the hour communicating with them, I suppose we could leave them a message on the daf, but I think it's only reasonable that we meet at 8:30 so that they have a chance to check and so on, if that's okay with everyone. Unless we should do, I mean, I think they heard us say 8:20 before, but I think it's safer to do 8:30.
It was too early last night.
It was too early? Okay, so 8:30, let it be. Let it be.
Shabbat was at 7:39.
Okay, so 8:30 sounds wonderful. Excellent. Okay, gentlemen. See you, Be'ezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful Shabbat, Chol HaMoed. And may we be zocher to see Yeshuat Hashem, Keheref Ayin, Ibud Kol Oyevenu, and the beginnings of Yisrael's future with the new Beis HaMikdash, Be'ezrat Hashem. Kol Tov, everyone. Looking forward to see you Mitzvah Shabbos. I missed you on Yom Tov. I'll miss you again during Shabbos. Kol Tov. Thinking of you. Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason.